There's only 253 people that can introduce legislation, and the governor's not one of them. Mm-hmm. And in order to get legislation to get this accomplished, you got to start working with the General Assembly. By the way, did you know, how do we effectively fund education? Welcome back to By the Way, Did You Know? We have probably my most frequent guest here. You know, Representative Topper's been a frequent guest on a lot of shows that he then takes over. But this is no, but
I'm going to leave this one to you.
Yeah, fair enough. But Representative Topper's a good friend of mine, and kind of keeping in the theme of our budget podcast we've been doing, this week we really tackle a third of our budget, and that's education and DHS. And Representative Topper is the chairman of the House Education Committee. We've had him on before to talk about education, but we had the budget hearing today with the Department of Education. Lots to talk about here. So I thought we'd have Representative Topper back to kind of recap what the hearing was about and kind of where we're heading from here. So, you know, Jesse, we had a morning of questioning of the secretary. He kicked it off a lot to his deputies. Not a lot of details, kind of keeping in the theme of a lot of these budget hearings. What's your takeaway from this morning?
Well, you say a third of the budget, and that's true. But if the governor's proposal got through, the one detail we have is the amount of money that they have set aside or designated to ask for the basic education funding formula, in addition to their, quote, adequacy numbers, as they believe have been laid out in terms of the court case. And if those numbers over the next 7 years were to take effect, if that kind of money, we're talking $7 billion, it blows past the fact that it would be a third of the budget. And there's only, they didn't list how much it would cost in the out years, which is a budget gimmick.
Sure.
That we've talked about. I'm sure you've talked about on this podcast about other issues where they don't actually list what it would cost outside of this first year and how much it would rise. We're talking about one of two options. Either you take a hatchet to other parts of the budget significantly, or you have the most massive tax increase in the history of the Commonwealth. That's what these numbers eventually lead to. And so if we can't find a better way to spend our education dollars and a better structure by which to spend them, and we just continue to increase sending money to school districts in this way, you will have a point where the system collapses upon itself. And that's really where we're at. So a lot of good questions today about the structure of the system, things that we can do to potentially make a better system in Pennsylvania, a lot of policy questions. But like you said, not a lot of answers. I heard a lot of we're working on it. We've got a work group on this. We've got a task force on this. We're working on it. And one of the things that I mentioned and others mentioned, but where are the legislators in these discussions?
Right.
Where's the staff in these discussions? Where are the people who are actually going to have to write and vote on the laws that would need to take place in order for this to be implemented? And just didn't get a lot of clear answers on that.
Yeah, and we keep getting the same line, and this is probably one of the seminal pieces of the governor's budget, is this education plan, both the higher ed and this concept of the adequacy funding. And the secretary just kept saying, well, it's a proposal. We're just here to talk about it. We're in March. Like, we're at the end of budget hearings. And we don't have details as to what it was. You know, we talked about some of the questions I asked were, okay, well, what are the benchmarks? What, you know, okay, we give extra money to schools. What are the measures? How are we going to measure performance? And they don't have details, like no details at all.
And what are you going to spend the money on? I mean, one of the things the ideas that was developed in the Basic Education Funding Commission, we wanted to ensure that PDE had a list of what we call instructional costs. Because we hear this all the time. The money's not making it to the classroom. What does that mean? Well, are we spending the money on the science of reading, right? Are we spending the money on the math curriculum that we know will raise the bar for our students and get them to where we have to be? Or is this money just disappearing in the black hole, right, of education, where we don't really know? Because there are no metrics. There's no way to track the money that is being spent. There's very little accountability, and everybody can agree that that needs to change. So if we're going to talk about spending more money, how do we track it? And this is to your question. How do we make sure that it's actually working? And the schools that are in crisis, and I had this conversation with another member on the back of the floor, when do you hit that point where either because of demographics, size, or simply because there's nothing more that can be done in that district to bring it out of crisis, when do you say enough is enough and you have to get those kids somewhere else?
Right.
And these are very difficult conversations, but conversations that we have to have. The governor has said that he's a proponent of school choice, and yet the only thing we saw in the budget that was really talked about school choice was the slashing of cyber charters. So I'm not exactly sure where that fits in terms of determining where some of these kids can go until we can get the situation fixed with their particular school district.
Yeah, I mean, he's completely walked back any support of school choice, at least in his policy initiatives. And I know this afternoon we're going to get into some of those questions, I think, with the secretary. But, you know, when we come to these budget hearings, we look to try to get details and try to get more information so that when we get into budget negotiations, we can say, okay, this is what I like about the plan. This is what I don't like about the plan. And you got to remember here, we're talking about educating our students, our kids. Like, this is it's not about the institutions. This is about our children and educating our children fundamentally. So how do we get money into the classroom so that we're teaching kids how to read, write, and math? Like, these are the things that we need to be focusing on. And it seems like we're just focusing on all these other areas that really aren't educating kids.
Right. And I think we're going to get into some questions around the mental health dollars. And again, what can we do? Because the argument has been made, and this is a fair argument, that some of these kids are going through things at home and coming into school. And if you're hungry, if you're worried about where your next meal is coming from, if you're worried about the fact that there's a drug deal taking place on your mom's front porch, are you able to concentrate on math and reading and science? Of course not, right?
Right.
So there are ways that now we have to look at how do we make sure that there are services that the schools can either contract from the outside or make sure they can get these families to. But you can't turn schools into counseling clinics. The school is, if it's about bringing folks in from the outside, if it's about taking those dollars and using them to make sure families get connected with services. But the mission of the school has to be student learning focused.
Absolutely.
And then whatever we need to do to build supports around that structure, yes, it's going to cost some money. We acknowledge that. Torin, you've been here for how long now?
5 years.
Six years. Has education funding ever gone down on any budget you've ever voted for?
Every year.
No.
It goes
no.
Up.
So we recognize that. The question is, what is sustainable and what is of value? What is actually giving us the return on investment on those dollars? And that's the part that the other side doesn't seem to have any concern about. It's just, if we give more money, results will come. It has been shown, it has been proven through the data, that is not accurate when it comes to public education.
Absolutely. I looked at the report, and it said it pretty clearly that there is really no correlation. In fact, there's a plot that just shows dots all over a graph as to more money doesn't always equal better test scores.
That's right. More money. We know money is important.
Sure.
But there are other components that are more important. And are we putting those components in public policy? As of right now, we're not talking about those. And that's why I think this hearing was very helpful, because you did have a lot of questions being asked around the accountability of dollars, the tracking of dollars, and how we can best make sure those dollars are going directly to students.
So we talk a lot about why we don't like the governor's proposal and why, you know, we have issues with that. You're the chairman of education. What are some things we can work on? What are some things that you would like to see in the education system that can move us forward?
Well, I think we can work on the structure. There were some things in the poverty index, the new formula that we're trying to create that we actually agreed upon, and we've talked about this before in the Basic Education Funding Commission, being able to smooth out some of those cliffs so that school districts have more predictability. Sometimes it's not about the amount of money. It's about the fact that they know they're going to receive it, right? They want stability. They want predictability. We can do more in our formula to make sure that school districts have that. We can also, and we've worked to address teacher pipeline issues. We talked about that today.
Yep.
There are ways that we can improve our system in terms of not relying so much on standardized testing, focusing more on career and technical opportunities, investing in things that are not seat time, like the bill that I had that was signed into law that gives flexibility in scheduling for internships, for more CT time if the student wants it, for students to be able to have dual enrollment where they can get a head start on their college credits at no cost. There are definitely ways that we can be student focused in how we approach education. We have done some of it. I think we'll continue to work towards it, but we have to get out of this mindset that just spending X amount of dollars fixes all of our problems, because we know it doesn't.
Yeah, so let's shift real quick here to the blueprint. We've heard this in the news. We've talked a lot about hearings, and the governor has proposed an idea that basically would unify our state universities and our community colleges, and has done some things with the non-preferreds, Penn State, Temple, Pitt, and Lincoln. Not a lot of details there. There's a deputy secretary has kind of come in and developed this new plan. You know, we're less than 3 months away, 4 months away from its implementation, if it would get passed. Still not a lot of details. What do we need to do with post-secondary education?
Well, and I think I hit it at the end of my questioning, which is we need the right people in the right rooms. And right now we don't have the right people in any of the rooms. Yes, we have some folks from academia, and that's important, but there are no legislators. There's no legislative staff. Nobody who actually has to write, develop, and vote on the legislation is a part of creating it, and that never works. It never works in government. So I think we made that point today. Even people in academia that should be a part of it, like the chancellor of the Passion System,
he's not.
Which you're talking about merging with community colleges. He's not in on these talks. So it's very clear to me that the administration has a few folks that they want to make this decision about how this is going to work, the implementation of a new system, the implementation of performance-based metrics. And while some of those things are good in concept, if you can't execute it, then it really doesn't matter. I've said for years in this place, an idea is just an idea unless you can get 102 in the House, 26 in the Senate, and the governor to sign it. It's just an idea. If you want to put that idea into practice, you have to have input from legislators. And look, this is an issue where you have some of us who are deeply engaged in it. And I think you could hear that by the questions. You know, we know what we're talking about. So use that knowledge and try and get a system that we know is fundamentally flawed. We know higher education is far, it's not accessible enough. It's not affordable enough. We have too many kids that are going to schools coming back with nothing but an indoctrination of some kind of a political agenda, but no real academic rigor that they can hang their hats on. That's not everywhere, obviously, but it is enough that it is making the news all of the time. Too much debt, too long, too many major switch. And coming out, the Wall Street Journal had an article the other day that over 50% of students are working in a field other than what their degree is in. Well, that shows a failure of the system. Right? It shows a failure of the system. So, yes, it needs to be worked on. We need to do what we can to make it more accessible, affordable, and actually something that helps Pennsylvania, helps keep kids in Pennsylvania and our workforce here. And I'm hoping we can come up with some a work product that can do that.
Yeah, and throw back to old Speaker Terzai's statement, there's only 253 people that can introduce legislation. And the governor's not one of them. Mm-hmm. And there has got, in order to get legislation to get this accomplished, you got to start working with the General Assembly. And there's just not been an effort to do that. Hopefully here, as we get back into session in 2 weeks, we will see some movement on some of these issues that benefits all Pennsylvanians and everyone has a seat at the table.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
This has been, by the way, Did You Know? Tune in for all of my podcasts at repecker.com/mypodcast.